and act like a giddy kid. I had just moved here for freshman year when he died. It sucked, and it totally wasn't fair. Everything was right where he wanted it, and he was taken away from it all because of a stupid accident. That's just tragic. I could hear the emotion in her voice. It is, I agreed, because that was all I could do. By the time we got to the salon, we were both beyond ready for a little pick-me-up, and I decided that a hot stone massage was definitely in order. We got pampered and all loosened up. Maybe too loose, because when it came time to touch up my hair, I had him take the chunk in my bangs and make it almost black instead of the subtle light brown it had been. He did the same to the underside of my long hair so that I had almost a checkerboard effect. It was edgy and dramatic, there was no way to miss it, and the black made the green of my eyes iridescent. I really liked it, and so did everyone else. As soon as we got out of the salon, a group of girls around our age stopped to ask where I had it done. Aiden and I went to get lunch and decided to grab a cocktail at a bar close to the apartment. I glanced at my phone and noticed Rule had texted to ask how I was doing. I frowned and shot back that everything was fine. I waited for him to demand to know where I had been all day, to ask what I was up to, but instead he said that was good and wanted to know what time to come over tonight. My stomach knotted, and I felt something awful rise up in the back of my throat. He was only being thoughtful, but I hated it, and I wanted it to stop. I texted, "I think I have a migraine coming on. Aiden isn't working tonight, so I think we'll just have a girls' night at home with a stupid movie and some popcorn, so you can go out with your friends or whatever." I wanted him to tell me that was stupid, that of course he would come over. But I got back,
"All right. Let me know if you need anything for your head. Keep your door locked. I still don't trust Davenport."
I wanted my Rule back. I wanted him to get mad at me. I wanted him to throw all that attitude he normally toted around at me. But I got none of it. All I got was quiet acquiescence and easy agreeability, things that my Rule knew nothing about. Angry and not sure why or what to do about it, I tossed the phone into my purse and ordered us another round of drinks. "What's wrong now?"
"Nothing."
"Come on, Shaw. I've been with you all day. Tell me what's really going on. The boobs, the hair, the freezing visit to the grave. Something is behind it all. You make me talk when I don't want to, so spill it."
I sighed dejectedly and twirled the straw around in my drink. "I told Rule not to come over tonight because I was getting a migraine."
"Which I assume is not true."
"No, and I don't really want him to stay away. I just want him to do what he normally does and throw a fit, to act temperamental and bossy, to tell me he's coming over whether I like it or not. Instead, he just says okay, like it's no big deal, and I don't know what to do with it. It's not like he can't be sweet and nice when he wants to, but that's just not his default. He's complicated and argumentative, but lately all he wants to do is smile and nod like I can do no wrong. It just isn't like him, and it weirds me out."
"Maybe try being stoked that your boyfriend sounds awesome."
I tried to smile because I knew she was just kidding, but I didn't have the heart for it. "It's not just when we talk or I ask him to do things. It's in bed, too. Normally, it's all out-of-control passion and mind-numbing orgasm after orgasm, but lately, it's been a lot more like, may I do this, and is it okay if I do that, and how does this make you feel?"
He's never been the type to ask for permission. He takes what he wants, and by the end, makes sure you want it twice as bad. It's starting to freak me out because I don't know how to talk to him about it without sounding like a paranoid lunatic.
"Well, you have to talk to him about it. You can't just keep expecting him to act one way while he's doing something entirely different, or you're both going to be disappointed."
I knew she was right, but that didn't mean I had the first clue how to go about it. Whatever happened between him and Gabe after my car got trashed is what started it. He left the apartment one way and came back as a stranger.
I know a couple people who were walking to class when it happened. They said it looked like Rule was going to tear Gabe apart, but then he let him go, and a security guard broke it up. I don't know what could have triggered such a strange reaction in him. I don't either, but I hate it, and it's just one more reason to curse Gabe and how he has managed to interfere in my life. I was feeling pretty down, so we had a few more cocktails than we'd planned. Aiden decided that since we were already bombed, we should make good on the girls' night. We ordered wings to go from the bar and hiked home since we were only 4 blocks away. We stumbled in and crashed on the couch. We watched 3 sappy romantic comedies back to back, polished off the wings with a bottle of wine, indulged in ice cream and popcorn, and laughed hysterically at things that were not remotely funny. It wasn't until I finally crawled into bed hours later that I realized that I hadn't called Rule or even sent a message to let him know what I was doing all night long. I think my heart cracked a little when I looked at the screen of my phone and it reflected back no missed calls or new messages. He hadn't even bothered with a good night or miss you. I tossed the phone somewhere on the floor, careful this time not to hurl it at the wall, and crawled under the covers. I assumed that since I was pretty plastered, sleep would suck me under in no time. But I was wrong. I tossed and turned for more than 2 hours until I finally gave up and realized I wasn't going to sleep unless I changed something. I had spent the last month cozied up next to Rule's solid bulk, and sleeping in an empty bed when I was feeling shitty just didn't hold the same appeal. I shoved the covers aside and rummaged through one of the dresser drawers that Rule had started stashing some of his things in when he stayed over. I found his favorite Defiance, Ohio t-shirt and stripped down and put it on. It was worn and soft, and it reminded me of him. So when I crawled back into bed, I finally fell into a fitful rest, knowing that I had to get a handle on things before I went crazy or turned into a sleepless lush.
Chapter 15. Rule. Hey, you got a minute? I looked up from the drawing of an old school pirate ship I was working on when my brother's voice surprised me from the doorway of my room. I was concentrating so hard that I hadn't heard him come in, and my mind was a million miles away because for the second night in a row, Shaw had come up with some lame-ass excuse to hang by herself, and it was pissing me off. I was actively making an effort to behave in a way I thought good boyfriends were supposed to act. I was being considerate, attentive, deferring to her wishes and not pushing for anything, so generally being a giant pussy, and letting her call all the shots. It wasn't getting me a damn thing, even in bed. I wanted to be a guy who wouldn't give her a reason to walk away, who would make her happy so that she didn't have to battle my mood swings and outbursts of crazy. I was trying, with limited success, to be a guy she wanted to keep around, especially since Davenport was still floating around unhinged. But my new and improved attitude seemed to be achieving the opposite result. I'd spent the last 2 nights tossing and turning, because I was used to her soft form curled up next to mine. I was too irritated to just call her and tell her I was over it and coming over anyway because I knew it was what we both wanted. I tossed my pencil at Rome's head and indicated he could come in if he wanted. What's up? He threw the pencil back at me and dropped heavily on the bed. He stuck his long legs out in front of him and crossed his ankles while reclining back on his elbows, making himself right at home. Still no word from Shaw? I bit back a growl because just thinking about it made me want to hurt things. She says she has too much homework due tomorrow, so she's just gonna head home after work and do it. Huh. What's that supposed to mean? Nothing. Just, huh. Shut up, Rome. Your huh never means nothing. Well, it's just odd that she hasn't been around much the last couple days. Did you have a fight you didn't tell me about? No. Are you sure? I scowled at him. Yes, I'm sure we didn't have a fight. Did you just come in here to harass me, or did you actually want something? Trying to change the subject. I called him a nasty name and spun back around in my chair. If you're just going to be annoying, I have to finish this back piece I'm working on for a client. I got my medical release today. The doc from Carson called a little while ago. That means I'm going wheels up at the beginning of next week. I spun back around. He was trying to look relaxed, but I could see the tension around his mouth and eyes. Your shoulder's going to be up to it? That's what they tell me. How about you? Are you up to going back? I guess I don't really have a choice. I would feel better leaving if I knew things with you and Shaw were straight, and she didn't have some lunatic stalking her, and that Mom had agreed to get some help. But I guess miracles only happen in the movies. I grunted and rubbed my hands over my hair, which seemed to be getting longer by the minute. I was tempted to shave the mohawk back, but in my head I knew Shaw shouldn't be with a guy rocking hair like that, so I was keeping it normal and natural, though she told me on a regular basis how much she missed the hawk. Shaw and I are fine, so don't worry about it. As for Mom, well, there's nothing I can really do to help you with that. Promise me that you're going to be safe. No more driving over bombs. That wasn't in the plan the first time. Look, I'm going to tell Mom and Dad. You know they're going to want to do something since no one knows when I'll be back or what condition I'm going to be in. Rome, I can't go through that with Mom again. I'll tell Dad to set something up at a restaurant or something. I'll make sure he knows it has to be a family event, which means you will be there and so will Shaw. I'm not asking, little brother. I'm telling you. I'm about to go back to the desert for who knows how long, and I deserve a good family memory to take with me. Everyone can just suck it up for one night. I deserve that. You saw how well it went last time, and I wasn't even provoking her. He sighed and pushed to his feet. Do this for me, Rule. Please. I didn't want to. Not when things with Shaw were weird, and not after my mom had made her feelings about me so clear. But there wasn't much I would deny my brother. And there was nothing I wouldn't do for him when he said please. I growled a lot of really dirty words and let my head fall backward. Let me know when and where. I'll tell Shaw, but you can't get pissed and go back to the war all mad if Mom does what she tends to do and makes it ugly. I don't understand why we can't just all be a goddamn family for once. I really don't feel like that's too much to ask. You're right. It's not. And I will do my part. Okay? Thanks, bro. You're only half as bad as everyone thinks. Shut up. I laughed and went back to my drawing. Just so you know, I'm gonna miss having your bossy ass around. He walked over to me and put me in a headlock. I struggled in vain trying to get loose, but he was just too big and easily manhandled me. I'm gonna miss your smart mouth and shitty attitude as well, though this hair you have going on is stupid and not at all you, so I won't miss that one bit. He finally released me when I got a solid fist into his ribs. He let me go with a grunt, and I pushed the nondescript locks off my forehead. You're just worried that when I have normal-looking hair that people will start to realize that I'm much better looking than you. He lunged for me again, and we wrestled around for a little bit like we used to when we were kids. Only now, Rome was a giant with a solid 50 pounds on me. So it wasn't much of a fight. He left with a promise to call and order something for dinner, and it gave me a small measure of satisfaction to notice he was rubbing his ribs on his way out. I pulled my phone out and stared at the screen. I hated that I was struggling with what I wanted to say to Shaw, that I was worrying over what words to use. I was so used to just saying and doing whatever I wanted, that this controlled and locked-down version of myself was getting old before it even started. I wrote out a quick message. Rome just got his medical release. He's going back to the desert on Monday. I figured since she was working that she wouldn't respond right away. It wasn't like we'd been engaging in any kind of deep philosophical conversations as of late.
Oh, no. Are you okay?
I'd already lost one brother. So the idea that my remaining one had a job that constantly placed him in jeopardy most definitely meant I was not okay. But there wasn't anything I could do about it. Rome's sense of duty was part of what made him who he was, and I respected it, and him, far too much to let my feelings taint any of the fleeting time we spent together. I've been better, but he seems okay with it, so what else is there to do?
Do you need me to come over after work?
I thought you had homework.
I do. But if you need me, it can wait.
I did need her. I wanted to hold her and love all up on her, but but not because she was feeling sorry for me, but because she wanted to be with me, too. I glared at the phone and at how complicated things seemed to have turned overnight. Nah, I'm straight, but he wants to do a family dinner with everybody before he leaves. He's going to have Dad set it up.
How's that going to work with things between you and Margot?
Not just me. You're coming, too.
I'm not worried about me.
Rome seems to think that since he's shipping back out, she'll behave if he asks her to. But I have my doubts. He thinks if we do it someplace public, she'll behave.
It's so sad you guys even have to worry about that in the first place.
Not the only one with family problems, Casper.
No, you're not.
Have a good night. There was a long pause, and I didn't think she was going to say anything back. But after about 5 minutes, my phone beeped with a new message.
I miss you, Rule.
I didn't know what to say to that because I wasn't the one pulling away this time. I clicked the screen off and went back to my drawing. The next night, I was the one blowing off spending time with Shaw because I decided it was a great idea to take Rome out and at least attempt to get him laid before he went back overseas. Somehow, I ended up face down in a fifth of crown. So I'm pretty sure I failed and ended up being the worst wingman ever. Rome and Nash dropped me on the bed after practically carrying me home. It wasn't until well after 11 the next morning, when I was attempting to shower and fake being human enough to show for work, that I noticed I had 3 missed calls and 5 missed messages from Shaw. They were all variations on the same thing. Where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't you answering? Should I come by? Are you going to come by? They all made me cringe and swear. I felt guilty as hell because had things not been so strained between us, I would have called her before I left or asked her to come with us. Instead, I'd enjoyed just being my normal self and not putting any effort into being anybody's perfect anything. I was about to try to call her to explain when Rome came out of the hallway bathroom running a towel over his head. You alive? Barely. I need to call Shaw. I was too messed up last night to let her know what was going on. He gave me a sharp look. I already called her. She texted me last night wondering what you were up to, so I told her you were loaded and out of control. She sounds sad. Worse than that, she sounds sad because of you. I growled a little and rested my elbows on the kitchen counter. I know, but I don't know what I did wrong. I almost beat her ex to death in a parking lot, but realized if I was going to act like a caveman, I was going to lose her and not be around to protect her. I've been minding all my P's and Q's, and let me tell you, I had no idea how many of those little fuckers there were. But ever since I started, she's been acting like I cheated on her or did some other horrible thing. Rule, she liked you just fine when your P's and Q's were all over the map. Stop trying to be something you aren't and just let her love you. It's not hard. Dad called and dinner's tonight at Ruth's Chris downtown at 6. I already told Shaw, so unless you want to grovel and apologize, you don't need to call her. They're coming here. Dad thought it would be good for Mom. He thought maybe getting her out of Brookside would break some of that hold the past has on her. I guess we'll see. Rule. I turned to look at him and was struck by the sincerity in his eyes. Thank you for doing this for me. I know it isn't easy for you. I'm learning easy things never really pay off. It's the things that make you work that really matter. You're still a little punk who can't hold his liquor, but somewhere along the line you really did turn into a man I'm proud to call my brother. We stared at each other for a long moment, and I would kill before I admitted it, but my eyes totally welled up. I cleared my throat and pushed off the counter. Thanks, Rome. Now I gotta go see if I still have a girlfriend or if I managed to drink myself single last night. I was thinking about his words as I dialed Shaw's number, only to be sent to voicemail. I just had to let her love me. I wasn't sure how to go about that, but I knew whatever I was doing now wasn't working. After her recorded greeting, I left a gruff message. Hey, it's me. I suck, and I'm sorry. I should have called. I'm sure you were worried, and if you'd pulled that shit with me, I would have been climbing the walls. Really, I don't have an excuse other than things have been off with us for a little bit, and I'm trying to figure it out. Call me when you get this if you want. I'll see you later tonight. I'm really sorry. and I promised to stop trying to do things different when the old way was working just fine. I didn't know what her response was going to be. I only knew that I'd screwed up, and I hoped it wasn't too late to fix it. I finished getting ready for work without hearing from her. I burned through my first two appointments with no word from Shaw, and I was starting to worry. I knew she had class today, but that didn't normally stop her from hitting me up between sessions. I was tempted to call her again, but worried what getting sent to voicemail again would do to me, since I was already hanging on by a thread. I was cleaning up my final appointment of the day when I finally got a text from her.
"I'll see you at dinner."
That was all. There was no, "I forgive you," no, "yes, you suck, now let's kiss and make up," no, "everybody makes mistakes," no, "I'm so glad we're getting things back to normal," just, "I'll see you at dinner." What was I supposed to do with that? This having a girlfriend business was starting to make my head hurt, and I longed for the days when we were cordial enemies who only spent a few hours a week together. That wasn't remotely true, but it made me feel a little better as I plodded home and changed into something that wouldn't give my mom a fit. I put on gray Dickies and a button-down plaid shirt with pearl snaps on it, and changed out my studded leather belt for a plain black one. I left my boots on and made sure my unruly hair had just enough product in it to keep it a semi-styled mess. I still looked like me, just a me that my dad wouldn't razz and my mom wouldn't bitch about. I had to admit that I wanted Shaw to see that I could clean it up when the occasion called for it, but my head was so twisted where she was concerned. I tried not to spend too much time thinking about what her reaction would be when we finally saw each other. Rome and I climbed into the truck to head to dinner. I could tell he was nervous by his silence on the ride down to the restaurant, and I honestly couldn't blame him since the last family get-together had gone so smashingly. To date, Mom still didn't believe that she held any responsibility for the family rift. I wasn't sure that meeting in public and having all this extra tension between Shaw and me was going to be a recipe for success, but I was determined to give Rome the send-off he deserved, and not let him leave disappointed in me, or with too many reasons to worry about those he loved. We parked in a crowded lot and shoved a couple dollars in the payment kiosk. As we made our way to the busy restaurant, we could see Mom and Dad waiting out front with Shaw. My breath quickened and something in my chest flipped over at the sight of her. It had only been a few days, but seeing her now, I suddenly felt like we'd spent years apart. She'd changed her hair in the time that had passed. It was now drastically two-toned and looked badass next to her pale skin and bright eyes. Her cheeks were red from the cold, and her green eyes were guarded as we got close. I could see my mom had a near-death grip on Shaw's arm, and that she wasn't exactly overjoyed with our arrival. Rome leaned in and kissed both of them on the cheek and shook Dad's hand before moving to pull open the door. I opted for a chin lift and a raised eyebrow in Shaw's direction. "Hey." The corners of her mouth pulled down, and my mom flat out ignored me.
"Hey. Let's go inside, I'm freezing."
She let my mom pull her along and a little sliver of anger started to spark under my skin. But this wasn't about me, so I tried to tamp it down as my dad cupped me on the back of the neck and gave me a little shake. It was a gesture that made me feel like I was 10 years old again, which was funny since I was about 6 inches taller than him now. "This is a good thing for all of us, kiddo. Just be patient, and we'll all get better at being a unit again." "It's just dinner, Dad. Let's not get ahead of ourselves."
"Well, we have to walk before we run, son. And as of now, the archers are barely managing a staggering limp. All we can do is move forward."
I didn't know what to say to that, so I just kept my mouth shut and watched Shaw's shapely form as the hostess guided our group to a table in the back of the building. My mom was jabbering nonstop at Shaw, and she was occasionally nodding and making noises of agreement. But what she wasn't doing at all was looking at me, or acknowledging me in any way. The anger was starting to turn from a smolder to a burn. If something didn't give soon, I was bound to do something I would regret later. At the table, I ended up sandwiched between my brother and my girlfriend. One was looking at me warningly, and the other was watching me with eyes shrouded in sadness and accusation. Two things I didn't understand. I was ready to say the hell with it to get some answers. I didn't get the chance, because as soon as I turned to Shaw, the waitress appeared, and we were busy ordering drinks. My mom once again hijacked all Shaw's attention. Just to test the waters, I put a hand on her thigh under the table and felt her tense at my touch. I waited for her to move or to pry it off with her own hand, but she didn't even stop the flow of conversation with my mom. It was obvious that they'd missed each other. I felt a stab of guilt that, because of her loyalty and feelings for me, Shaw had missed out on a relationship she obviously appreciated. I let my dad and brother draw me into a conversation about the Broncos, and kept an eye on Shaw as we ordered dinner. She never moved my hand, but she never once looked my way either. I didn't know what to make of it. I was grateful, however, that as long as my mom was focused on her, she didn't so much as bat an eyelash in my direction, allowing the dinner to go as smoothly as it could, considering the circumstances. Dad ordered a bottle of champagne with dessert, and before it showed up, my mom went to use the restroom, finally giving Shaw a chance to turn and look at me. When she did, her mouth was tight, and her super-light eyebrows were furrowed over her eyes. "We need to talk." My own eyebrows shot up so hard they pulled against the hoops pierced there. "That's kinda hard to do when you won't answer the phone when I call and you make up lame-ass excuses to avoid spending time with me." I saw her flinch, and she leaned closer so that our heads were bent near each other. She hissed in a tone low enough that only I could hear, "Well, excuse me for not knowing what to say to you, considering the last time we didn't talk for a few days, you stuck your tongue down the first willing girl's throat. I don't know what's going on with you, but I feel like you're turning into a stranger, and I hate it." I scowled at her and tightened my fingers on her leg. "Do you trust me at all? Geez, Shaw, maybe I was just trying to be a better boyfriend, one who doesn't flip out over stupid shit all the time, and one who isn't in jail while your psycho ex is still on the prowl. Maybe I was trying to act right for a change. I was trying to be the kind of guy you deserve." She blew out a hard breath through her clenched teeth, and her emerald-colored eyes sharpened with an anger that I was surprised to see burned as hot as mine. "Maybe you should have asked me before deciding what I deserve, Rule. Maybe I like the you that flips out over stupid shit. Maybe I miss the you that is passionate enough about me, about my safety, to risk going to jail over my psycho ex, and I sure as hell never asked for you to be a better boyfriend. In fact, the boyfriend you've been the last week has done nothing but make me confused and sad." I don't think either of us realized that we'd raised our voices, or that we now had a captive audience. In fact, it took my mom making a noise low in her throat like a wounded animal as she wobbled on her heels to get our attention. She was looking from me to Shaw with huge eyes, and had a hand pressed hard into her chest. My dad looked far less surprised, but worried about my mom as usual.
"What did you just call him?"
Shaw looked at my mom, then back at me. She sighed and answered softly like she was afraid the news would shatter the woman before her.
"Rule and I have been seeing each other for a little over a month now. I told him to stop acting like he needed to be someone else to be a good boyfriend."
She turned to look at me, and I could see her doing some kind of internal warfare with herself. Finally, she sucked in a deep breath and turned back to my mom.
"I've been in love with him since I was 14, Margot."
I went still at her confession and felt everything inside me turn to jelly. She loves me. This perfect, wonderful, kind young woman loves me and had for a long time. I didn't know where to put that, because my mom started blinking back tears, and for the first time that night turned her attention to me.
"It's not enough that you took Remy's life. You had to take the girl he loved from him, too."
Stunned silence landed on the table like a ton of bricks. My instinct was to push away from the table and storm out of the restaurant, but I couldn't because Shaw clamped a hand over mine on her leg. My dad and Rome both leapt to their feet in outrage.
"Margot! Mom!"
Voices were raised, and the other patrons in the restaurant were starting to pay all kinds of attention to the scene we were making, but I was too stunned to care. I heard Shaw say my name, felt my brother put his hand on my shoulder, but I just wasn't there. At least, I wasn't there until Shaw climbed to her feet, put her fingers in her mouth, and let out a whistle that had us all looking at her in shock. She put her hands on the table and leaned forward so that she was talking directly to my mom, but she made eye contact with all of us.
"Everyone, shut up!"
She pointed a finger at my mom and narrowed her eyes.
"Listen to me, Margot, and for once you need to hear what I'm saying. I loved Remy, still do, but we were never in love. He knew how I felt about Rule, and at times both encouraged and discouraged it. But at the end of the day, he agreed that we don't necessarily get to choose who we fall in love with.
She took a deep breath, and I watched her chest rise and fall. She was struggling with something. Something big. If the flush of her face and the way her hands balled into fists were any indication.
Remy had secrets. I know you boys were close, that you all loved and respected each other, but Remy was different from the two of you and he just didn't know how to tell you. He thought that maybe it was best for everyone to just let all of you assume we were a couple because of how hard Dale and Margot were on Rule, and all he did was tattoo himself and wear his hair all crazy.
She turned so that she was fully facing me, and I saw she had tears in her eyes and that her bottom lip was trembling. I wanted to wrap her up in a hug and make it all better, but even in the emotional shell shock I was experiencing, I knew her words were about to change my world forever.
I promised him, and I owed him so much. I swore on my life I would never tell anyone.
She let her gaze skip around the table and land on all of us.
But he would want his family healthy and whole more than he would want me to keep his secret.
She took a deep breath.
Remy was gay. He was my best friend. My surrogate family, but he was a homosexual. He was involved in a serious relationship with a guy named Orlando Frederick that he met his last year playing ball. That was the real reason he moved to Denver after school. Lando goes to DU as well.
Disbelief, foreign and cold, snaked up my spine. Rome let out a string of nasty words, and my mom started bawling in earnest. Shaw turned sad eyes in my direction, and I looked at her like I'd never seen her before. No way. He would have told me. She shook her head, sending white and black hair sliding across her shoulders.
He wanted to, but he was worried you wouldn't understand his desire to keep it quiet. He was scared you would push him to come out. It was never about worrying how you would react. He just knew it would kill Margot.
We were twins, goddammit. He would have told me.
Rule.
I pushed away from the table and glared down at her. This is bullshit. Rome got to his feet as well, and I noticed he was also looking at Shaw with hard eyes. You don't need to make up lies about the deceased to try to fix things for Rule. That's desperate and uncalled for, Shaw. Tears trailed down her face as she looked back and forth between us. She opened her mouth to say something, but was cut off by my dad clicking his spoon against the side of his champagne glass. All right, everybody. Sit down and shut the hell up. He cut a hard look at my mom and pointed to the seat she'd vacated moments before. She looked like she was going to faint, and about as happy to sit next to Shaw as she did when I stopped by a few weeks ago. I sat back down grudgingly, but surprisingly, Rome was the holdout. He hovered by the back of his chair until my dad glared at him and pointed. Ass in the chair, soldier. Shaw was crying next to me, and now, instead of wanting to comfort her, all I wanted to do was get as far away from her as possible. My dad cleared his throat and crossed his arms on the table. Things in this family have been in shambles for a long time. There's been too much dishonesty and too much subterfuge for everyone's sake, and I'm done trying to sweep it all under the rug just to keep my wife happy, because she isn't. None of us are. He rubbed a hand over his chin, and suddenly he looked 100 years older than he actually was. Margot, don't pretend to not know that the way you've been treating Rule these last few years is cruel and uncalled for. I lost my son the same as you, and I'm done watching you try to turn his twin into a stranger or someone who hates us. He's a good boy. He works hard, loves his family, and clearly has qualities that are good enough for our girl to appreciate. I'm finished freezing him out. We both know Shaw has been in love with him since she was a kid. We saw the way she watched him, the way she defended him. And don't think for one second I didn't notice that's why you were always trying to shove her in Remy's direction. He heaved a sigh that seemed like it came all the way from my youth, and looked at me in Rome. Shaw isn't lying to you, boys. Your brother was a homosexual. He might not have wanted your mother and me to know about it, but teenagers are crap liars, and he wasn't exactly as discreet as he might have thought. He slid a sideways look at my mom while Rome and I gave each other shocked looks. Margot thought it was a phase. That's the main reason she was so eager to welcome Shaw into our home and family,
At first she was convinced you were going to change him, make him like girls, or more specifically like you. But like I said, it was pretty obvious your interest was in Rule. After a while we just adored you so much and saw how much love you were missing and how much you had to give that we couldn't let you go, even though I never approved of the way Remy let everyone just believe there was more between you two than friendship. I growled. He would have told me. I smacked the flat of my hand on the table, and my dad glared at me. No, son. He wouldn't have. Remy struggled with it. He struggled with who he was supposed to be versus who everyone else thought he was. And that's not something you've ever done. You've always owned you, and screw anyone who didn't like it. I looked at Shaw and then at the table. I'd tried to change for her, and it had been an epic failure. I climbed to my feet again and let my gaze fall on my mom. I don't understand why you've never been able to love me the way I am when you obviously had the capacity to love him regardless of his choice not to tell everyone the truth. He lied to all of us for years. It just doesn't make sense. I need to get out of here. I'm with you. Rome looked as wild as I was feeling on the inside. I looked down when a soft hand clasped around my forearm. I flinched involuntarily, and I think I actually saw her heartbreak in her eyes.
Rule.
Her voice was a broken whisper.
I'm sorry.
She let me go, and I almost couldn't talk over the lump in my throat. I understand what you meant about those closest to you hurting you the most now. I'll be in touch. But as Rome and I hurried out of the restaurant, I wasn't sure I was telling her the truth, and I refused to think about how much walking away from her like this hurt.
Chapter 16. Shaw. It had been 3 weeks, give or take a day, with no contact from Rule. No text messages, no phone calls, no emails, no carrier pigeons, just a whole lot of silence and heartbreak on my end. Rome hadn't even returned my calls or texts telling him goodbye and that I would miss him while he was gone. He left for the desert mad at me, and as upsetting as that was, the daily battle I had with myself about whether to call Rule and beg him to forgive me was soul-crushing. I wanted to plead with him to understand that it was never my secret to tell, regardless of our relationship. Aiden kept saying he would cool off and come around, while Margot and Dale firmly believed he wasn't going to speak to any of us ever again. They were in the same boat as me. Neither of the boys was speaking to them, and Margot had nearly had a nervous breakdown when Rome had refused to allow them to drive him down to Fort Carson for his send-off. Instead, the brothers went together, leaving the rest of us out in the cold. I was hurting, but I was also sick and tired of my love and affection not being enough for anybody. I had loved Rule longer and harder than anyone else in my life, and that still wasn't enough for him to look beyond his own hurt feelings and sense of betrayal to work things out with me. I was still pissed that he had spent the week prior to the bomb being dropped trying to act and behave in a way I had never asked for or wanted. But when I was alone at night and crying in bed, I had to admit that it was a sweet, if misguided, gesture. I remembered telling him to be aware of how bad things could be if we tried to do this and it didn't work. Somehow, even finding him in bed time and time again with every skanky girl this side of the Platte River couldn't hold a candle to this complete freeze-out. I tried really hard not to worry about what he was doing or who he was doing it with, but every day that passed I became more and more fatalistic. Whatever he had felt for me wasn't enough to get him past the hurt he was feeling, and it obviously came nowhere near the heart-wrenching emotion I felt for him. As much as it pained me to let it go, I had to get over him. I had to work at moving on, because even if he did get back in touch with me, there was just too great a chance he had relapsed into his old ways, and there was simply no way I would survive that kind of betrayal from someone I cared so deeply about. So, instead of languishing, I forced a smile every day, picked back up the shifts I had dropped at work, threw myself into my studies, and spent as much time as I could with Aiden and Cora.
I was careful around Cora to give nothing away, and she was just as careful to never, ever mention Rule or anything having to do with him. To say my parents were excited that Rule was no longer in the picture was an understatement. Unfortunately, I had let it slip that we were no longer seeing each other during a less-than-friendly conversation with my mom. My dad was so happy, he took my newly repainted BMW and traded it in for a Porsche Cayenne, because I had mentioned wanting an SUV for the snow. I tried to refuse it. I didn't need to be bribed, considering Rule had effectively left me. But the title was in my name, and the BMW was already gone, so I reluctantly accepted it. My mom was even worse. She called every day to check on me. The woman who had never had the time of day for me was suddenly overly interested in everything I did and everyone I spent time with. I think she was trying to subtly let me know that as long as I kept unsavory characters out of my life, I would eventually gain her approval. The funny thing was, now that Rule was gone, I didn't want it. I would have taken being disowned and disinherited a million times over if it meant I could just get him to talk to me, just get him to feel one half of what I had always felt for him. I think my disinterest made both my parents nervous. They were so used to dangling approval and acceptance in front of me like a golden carrot, they didn't know what to do now that it held no appeal for me. Having the power now should have felt exhilarating, but instead it just left me hollow. I should have fought them sooner. I should have felt this way as soon as Rule and I started whatever it was we had been doing. I had wasted so much time, and it just piled more sadness and regret on top of what I was already managing. Thanks, Lou. I gave him one of the strained smiles that I was becoming a pro at, and let him scoop me up in a bear hug as he walked me to my car after my shift. I hadn't heard a word from Gabe in weeks, but it made me feel better to know someone cared enough to make sure I was safe, so I never turned Lou down when he offered to see me to my car. This was an odd night on for me, meaning I had just picked up a shift because one of the girls was sick, so Aiden wasn't working, and I was alone. In fact, my roommate seemed to have shaken out of her funk and was on a date with a very cute physics major who just happened to be as different from a rock and roller as one could get. She had gone out with him twice this week, and seemed a little more like her old self. I was happy for her, even if it meant one more night I spent wallowing in misery by myself. No one said the road to recovery was pretty, after all. Lou set me back on my feet and gave me a peck on the forehead.
"I miss that young man of yours, Shaw. He was a smartass, but a good kid."
I sighed because I kept having the same conversation with Lou. "I know. I miss him, too."
"Take care, girlie."
"I always try." My new car was awesome, I'm not going to lie. It purred like all good sports cars should, but had no trouble navigating the icy downtown streets as I made my way across town to my apartment. I listened to the Avett brothers sing me sad songs about broken hearts all the way. It was well after midnight on a weekday, so there wasn't really anybody out on the road. A dog barked somewhere. It was cold and dark, and I shivered involuntarily. I hated this part of the drive home. It just hammered home the fact that I was really and truly on my own now. I was lucky to get a spot right in front of the building and sprinted to the security door because my uniform wasn't meant to be worn outside at the tail end of a Denver winter. I heard the familiar click of the lock when I punched in my code and ran inside. I blew a warm breath on my fingers and dug around in my purse for my house keys, since I still hadn't added the new key for my SUV to the set. Normally I had them out and ready to go, but lately I had been so distracted by all the noise in my head and the heavy weight in my chest that maintaining my personal safety had fallen somewhere toward the bottom of the priority list. I had just pushed the key in the lock and was getting ready to turn the deadbolt when a deep voice said my name from over my shoulder. For a split second, I was excited. Unbridled relief flooded through me because the only guy who would be waiting for me at my apartment was Rule. Before I could turn around and throw my arms around him, hard hands grabbed me by the back of the neck and shoved me face first into the door. I gasped in shock, some part of my brain flashing that I should be screaming for help right now. But the door swung open with the flick of a wrist decked out in an all-too-familiar Tog Heuer watch, and I went stumbling forward as rough hands pushed me inside. My purse went flying, and I was stunned to see Gabe standing before me. He looked as pressed and polished as usual, except his eyes were crazy, and he had a demented grin on his face that terrified me. I couldn't move.
"How did you get in here?"
I knew this wasn't good. I wasn't safe with him, didn't want to be alone with him at all, but the apartment was tiny and there wasn't anywhere to run. My mace was in my purse on the floor, and the taser that Rule had bought for me was resting uselessly in my new car. I was really regretting not letting Rule leave his gun over here all the times he had asked when we were seeing each other. Gabe ran obviously agitated hands through his dark hair and watched me like any other predator watched its intended prey.
"I told your mother that we were working toward reconciliation and wanted to surprise you. She gave me the code. I followed you home from work, since the freak is obviously out of the picture and the military monkey hasn't been around. I figured now was as good a time as any for us to get on the same page."
He was so cold, so matter-of-fact, that I didn't even think he understood he had just forced his way into my apartment and that I was trembling in fear. I crossed my arms over my chest to try to bluff away some of the terror I was feeling, but he just continued to watch me like he was mentally taking me apart.
"We aren't even reading from the same book, Gabe. You need to go, because in like 2 seconds I'm about to start screaming my damn head off."
He shook his head and made a tisk-tisk sound.
"Well, you see, Shaw, things have really gone to shit for me. Ever since your thug of a boyfriend made me look like a pansy and my dad pulled the plug on my credit cards because of that little stunt you pulled with the restraining order, things have been going downhill. I'm failing my political theory class. My fraternity wants me out because apparently it's not okay to let some guy with the IQ of a sewer rat make you look like a sucker on your own campus. My parents are furious with me over the restraining order, and the internship I wanted with your mother's campaign fell through because she simply didn't have time to get it together. So you see, Shaw, ever since you decided to be a selfish whore and turn your back on all the great things we could have had, I've been having to work double time to get what I deserve."
He was crazy. Flat out off his freaking rocker. I was trying to edge away from him because I knew if he moved close enough to get his hands on me, things were going to go from terrifying to unimaginably horrible.
"I'm sorry you're having a hard time with things, Gabe, but you shouldn't have messed with my car. It pushed Rule over the edge. I told you to leave me alone or you wouldn't like what he was going to do."
I shrieked because apparently bringing up Rule was the wrong thing to do. Gabe moved faster than I would have thought he was able to. He chased me as I pedaled backward, keeping as much space between us as I could. Unfortunately, he caught me in the living room, and even though I fought, he was just bigger and stronger. He grabbed me by the throat, and we struggled all the way to the floor. I kicked an end table over, which made a huge racket and earned me a backhand across the cheek that split the side of my lip open. He sat all the way across my middle, pinning my arms to my sides, and wrapped a hand around my throat. My eyes were watering from the tears of fear and the struggle to breathe. I clawed at his squeezing hands and flailed my legs, but he just bent over me and continued to tighten his hands around my neck.
"You think I care what that loser thinks? You think I give a single fuck what that degenerate wants to do to me? He's nothing. I told you all along that he wouldn't stick around. Now look at you, all alone and finally doing things my way. I told you I would get my way. I always do."
I needed to get away from Gabe. He was going to kill me, seriously kill me. My vision was starting to blur in and out, and my lungs were on fire. He kept squeezing and sitting on me while telling me all about how we were getting back together and how I was going to call my mother and have her reconsider her actions about his internship now that we were a couple. I shook my head back and forth, gasping for any air, and managed to get my hands between us enough that I jabbed my nails hard into the underside of his biceps, making him wince and reel up enough that I could crawl a little bit away from him. I sliced my hand open on a piece of the broken lamp as I scrambled to get my feet under me, only to be dragged back down by a cruel hand in my hair. I grunted as his weight landed squarely on my back and had to blink away a steady flow of blood as the side of my head made contact with the leg of the overturned table.
"Aiden is going to be home any minute."
My voice was thready and thin from the pressure he had put on my neck, but it didn't matter anyway. He simply jerked me back to my feet and pressed me so that I was folded in half over the back of the couch. I was trying desperately not to think about how little of a barrier my work uniform offered in the way of deterring him, but he bent his face low to mine, not seeming to mind in the slightest that blood was getting everywhere.
"Who cares? You're my girlfriend, Shaw. You belong to me. If your roommate comes home, you're just going to tell her things got out of hand while we were making up."
He'd put so much of his weight on my back that the way he had my hand wrenched up behind me couldn't take the torque, and with a sickening pop that made both of us jerk, my shoulder found its way out of its socket. I screeched in pain and went limp on that side. Fear and panic rose up hard and fast in my throat as I struggled. I knew that I had to get to my purse for the mace or to the kitchen for some kind of weapon to use against him. He let go of my hands now that one was totally useless and put one of his own on the back of my neck to keep me bent over the couch while he used the other to start tugging and pulling at the bottom half of my uniform. He was muttering all kinds of broken sentences and talking about how he was going to make sure that I understood we were a couple. He was rambling about getting married and making our families one. I started to cry in earnest because I didn't know how to stop him from violating me this way. Fortunately, part of the lamp I had kicked over landed close to the couch, and a piece was embedded in one of the cushions. While Gabe was busy tugging and pulling at my clothes, I wrapped the fingers of my good hand around it. I could feel the little ruffly shorts I wore under the uniform start to rip, and that was enough to spur me into action. The only thing I could reach from my prone position was the meaty part of his thigh, and I wasn't sure that I had enough strength to do any real damage, but I swung the glass shard as hard as I could and heard him swear as he suddenly jerked back. I slumped to my hands and knees and screamed bloody murder as my weight landed on my injured arm. I crawled across the floor while he struggled to get the glass out and managed to get to my purse. I was just struggling back to my feet as he was thundering toward me, but I got the mace out and the nozzle turned toward him and gave him a full dose right in the face while he bellowed like an injured bear. I squeezed the canister in my good hand and bolted out the door. I was sure I looked like an escapee from an insane asylum. I was crying hysterically, had blood all over my face, and could barely talk because of the damage to my throat. I raced to the security door, and I ran smack into Aiden as she was coming in. I collapsed into a blubbering mess as she caught me. She was screaming my name, demanding to know what happened, and I heard her dialing 911 on the phone. But between the shock and pain, I just shut down. I blinked up at her through the blood trailing down over my face, and was aware dimly of a crowd coming out of some of the other apartments. It was just too much, and everything faded to black. I was pretty sure she caught me before I hit the ground, but the next time I was cognizant of anything, I was strapped to a stretcher and being loaded into the back of an ambulance. The lights and the sirens were making my head throb, and a young paramedic was firing a million and one questions at Aiden as she scrambled up into the back with me. She immediately grabbed my hand and squeezed it. I noticed she was crying almost as hard as I had been.
"Gabe."
My throat was on fire, and talking made it feel like I was speaking through a forest of razor blades. Aiden brushed away her tears with shaking hands and I winced as the paramedic turned his attention to me.
The cops have him. His dad showed up as they were putting him in the back of the police car. The mace you used on him was hard to miss, so we couldn't really deny he was in our apartment. How did he get in through the security gate?
I flinched as the paramedic prodded at my shoulder. He turned sympathetic eyes to me.
You're going to have to get it reset. It's dislocated, and I think the cut on your forehead is going to be deep enough that it's going to need to be glued or sewed shut. Sorry.
I wanted to tell him it was okay because I was alive, and at least Gabe hadn't gotten away with the ultimate violation, but talking hurt too much. When he asked about needing a sexual assault exam, I shook my head no and squeezed Aiden's hand as she started crying again.
My mom.
The words were broken, and not just because of my throat.
She gave him the code because he told her we were getting back together.
Aiden let loose with a string of swear words that would have made Rule proud, and we spent the rest of the short ride just clinging to one another. The next 2 hours were a blur of doctors and police officers. After the first 15 minutes, it was clear I wasn't going to keep up my end of the conversation with my vocal cords being as abused as they were. I had to resort to writing everything down. Gabe was in lockup, at least for the night, and there wasn't anything his dad could do to get him out. The detective who took my statement let me know there was a good chance his family would post his bail in the morning and he would be out. But there was now a mandatory restraining order in place, and there wasn't a thing his dad could do about it. Not that it mattered. They were keeping me at least a night in the hospital to see how bad the damage to my throat really was, and I needed super-strong painkillers to dull the migraine I was battling on top of the pain of having my shoulder shoved back into the socket. My mom and Jack showed up sometime near dawn, and my dad came as well. I told Aiden I didn't want to see any of them, which caused a huge scene. When my mom started screaming that it was probably one of the thugs I had met while I was dating Rule, Aiden totally lost her cool and informed all of them that if it hadn't been for my mother giving Gabe the code to the security door of the apartment, this would have never happened. That shut everyone right up. My dad forced his way in using his medical connections, and I spent a solid hour ignoring him and glaring while he apologized profusely. When he tried to kiss my cheek, I turned my head away and made sure he could see the absolute disgust in my eyes. Part of Gabe's obsession had to do with all the things these people represented, and I just couldn't abide having it around me right now. They all left after a nurse threatened to call security if they didn't stop disturbing me. Aiden pulled up a chair and propped her feet on the edge of the bed, and we both fell into a fitful sleep as morning rolled around. I would only doze on and off, needing more pain meds as my shoulders started to ache and various other parts of me that had been abused made themselves known. Aiden vanished somewhere around noon, which was fine, because another round of doctors and detectives came by. Gabe's dad had managed to get him out on bail, but there was no dispute about how bad he had hurt me, and the police were looking at charging him with attempted murder. They made me tell my story over and over again, and I never wavered from the brutal facts. Gabe was sick and needed help. But more than that, he needed to be somewhere where he wasn't able to do this to someone else. Feeling entitled enough to own another person despite their feelings in the matter was beyond mentally unstable. Aiden came back in with yogurt and some granola, looking sheepish. I called Cora to let her know what was going on. I didn't even think about the fact that she would freak out while she was at work. I went completely still and turned wide eyes to my friend. Apparently, Rule threw a major fit when he heard what happened, and, needless to say, he'll be here in like 5 minutes. Sorry, but I figured you should know. I guess I could ask the hospital staff to keep him out if you want, though I have a feeling stopping him when he's all worked up might be a chore. There'd be another ex you'd have to send to the slammer for the night. I wasn't sure how I felt about him coming here. On the one hand, all I had wanted for the last month was to see him, to have him acknowledge me. But on the other, it shouldn't have taken a vicious and violent wake-up call to make that happen. I sighed and rocked my head back and forth. She was right, anyway. Keeping him out if he had made his mind up to storm the castle was going to be more of a hassle than I needed right now. It's fine. I can handle him. My voice was still raw and scratchy, but at least it hurt marginally less to use it now. You don't look like you're in any kind of shape to handle anything. She wasn't wrong. My arm was in a sling, I had a 3-inch gash glued shut and wrapped in a white bandage on my forehead, matching the setup on my hand. My lip was split open and crusted with blood, and I had a wicked ring of black and blue bruises circling the pale skin of my throat. To top it all off, I was sporting a dandy set of black eyes from being shoved face first into both the door and the floor. It'll be fine. He can come see that I'm all right, then go about his day, which I'm sure is all he wants to do. She gave me a skeptical look and patted my feet where they were stacked up under the itchy hospital blanket. All right, then. If you swear you're gonna be okay, I'm gonna run and find some place with coffee that doesn't taste like tar, and I'll be back. I wasn't going to ever really be okay again. I didn't think anyone who had been through what I had in the last few months would, but I wasn't scared of Rule. Almost being raped by a lunatic had given me a whole new perspective on what was missing from my life and what I was going to do differently from this point on. I wanted to fidget with my hair, but it was snaggled together with dried blood, and who knew what else, and it wasn't like there was going to be any fixing my face. Rule was just going to have to face the horror show full on and deal with it. I was messing around on my phone, returning texts from Cora and most of Rule's boys, letting them know I was fine, when the door opened and he came in. I looked up and watched him, so I saw the initial anger that was stamped all across his handsome face quickly bleed into horror at the sight of me all battered and bruised. I saw his chest inflate and deflate as he sucked in an audible breath and moved to the end of the bed. We stared at each other in silence, and I noticed absently that his hair was still normal, if unruly, as well as its natural dark brown color. I still hated it because it made him look like a stranger. His eyes looked wild and too big for his face. A full-blown blizzard was sweeping out of the cold depths. He was messing with his lip ring like he did when he was nervous, and I realized if I didn't say anything, there was a good chance we would spend the rest of the afternoon watching each other warily. You didn't have to come. I'm fine. Just a little banged up. His big hands tightened on the end of the bed, and I watched the snake head bend and flex with his aggravation.
I wanted to see for myself that you were all right. You could have called to let me know you were hurt.
I refused to look away from him, and he seemed infuriated each time his gaze landed on another part of me that was broken.
Well, considering you haven't spoken to me for weeks, it didn't seem very logical to let you know what was going on.
His mouth tightened.
You're right. I should have been there. You shouldn't have been alone.
I sighed and clenched my hands in the blanket.
You're right. You should have been there. But not because Gabe is crazy, and not because I needed protecting from him. You should have been there because you care about me as much as I care about you. But that isn't the case. No one is to blame for this mess but Gabe. He's sick and broken, and chances are, even if someone had been with me, he still would have gone all stalker crazy. So it is what it is. I don't hold anyone accountable but him. Besides, my body is already on the mend. It's my heart that still feels like it went through a food processor.
Shaw. He tried to interject something, but I held up my good hand and looked him right in the eye.
I'm tired of my love not being good enough. I thought when this started with you, I would be okay with whatever it was you were willing to give. I thought I could love you enough for the both of us since I had been suffocating in it for so long. But I realize now
that I deserve more. I blinked back tears that snuck up on me. I deserve it all, because I'm willing to give it all. I would have worked through the darkness with you, Rule. What I won't do is watch you walk away from me every time something happens that has the potential to hurt you. I'm sorry I never talked to you about Remy, but I told you all time and time again he and I weren't a couple. You had the undeniable proof on my birthday. You should be mad at him for keeping it a secret, not me. You were right all along. We don't trust each other enough to ever have had a chance at making this work. I think I wanted it too much, and you didn't want it enough.
I was surprised to see moisture in his eyes when I was done talking. The only time I had ever seen Rule cry was at Remy's funeral. He reached out a hand like he was going to lay it on my leg, but retracted it before he ever made contact.
Shaw, what if I did love you?
His voice was just a hint above a whisper.
Seeing you like this makes me want to murder Davenport with my bare hands, but it makes something deep inside me hurt. I've missed you these last few weeks, but I was also furious with you. I couldn't get the two to ever line up.
I gave my head a sad little shake and let the tears gathered in my eyes fall.
That isn't enough. I've spent my entire life trying to live up to unreachable expectations. You were the only thing I ever wanted for myself, and once I got you, you felt like you had to entirely change who you were in order to be with me. I refused to put the same kind of expectations I always struggled with on someone else, even if I didn't ask that of them. Parts of us are great together, Rule, but other parts of us just don't work. All this,
I waved my good hand over my reclining form,
will knit itself back together. It'll be fine, and we'll just go back to whatever it was we were doing before.
I made sure that he understood I was talking about everything from the gash on my head to my broken heart. I would get over him.
There just wasn't another option. You've always been in my life, Shaw. We should have been able to make this work.
I wanted to shrug, but I only had one working shoulder, so that wasn't an option. Instead, I swiped at my tears with the back of a hand and offered him up a shaky smile.
There are a lot of things that maybe should have gone one way and didn't. I know most people thought you and I being together was a long shot, so we should just be grateful for what we had.
I feel like I'm letting you down, letting everyone down, and for once it's bothering the hell out of me. I just don't know how to work around what's going on up here.
He tapped his temple with a finger. I was crying in earnest now, and it was on the tip of my tongue to tell him that if he could just love me, just learn to let me love him the way he deserved, the way I desperately wanted to, then it would all be fine. But that wasn't the case. We needed to believe in ourselves, needed to trust that we were each enough without trying to be other people. That just wasn't happening, so I closed my eyes, and for once I was the one to shut him out and fall into the dark.
Some things just aren't meant to be. I'm getting tired. Can you send a nurse in on your way out? I think the painkillers are starting to wear off.
Shaw, I'm so sorry.
Me too, Rule. Really. I am too.
I had spent a lifetime in love with him, and as much as I wanted to be strong and put it all behind me, letting go of what I felt